it up for Pastors Earl and Onika, because they are freaking amazing leaders, pastors, friends to Jimmy and I. And Jim, as Jimmy said on Sunday, you guys are some of the most genuine people we know. And we just love you. We adore you.
I love that game, like stand up and kiss, but I wanted to lay down and kiss.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm apologizing in advance because I have no idea
what this guy is.
What's up, everybody? How y'all doing? Everybody good? Like four of you. Amazing. Well, we are so excited to be here with you all. First of all, look at how many people want to work on their marriage.
I know.
Like, this is absolutely amazing. Or you just got dragged here or threatened to be here, right, by your spouse. If that's you, stand up and I'm joking. But my name is Jimmy, and this is my beautiful wife of 24 and a half, 25 years on June the 5th. It's been amazing. It's been about the best 10 years ever, guys.
No, eight. It's been the best eight years.
Yeah. I thought it was two more years better.
No.
I was still not ready?
No, it's eight. Okay. Yes. Best 8 years ever. True story. And over the past 25 years, I can't believe that I've known you for half your life. He just turned 50, y'all. Does he look like a 50-year-old to you?
I know all of you are thinking she's so lucky.
Uh-uh.
Right? Like, gosh, how'd you get
here? Well, we are blessed to have some amazing kids. Can you put our family photo up so we can introduce you to our family? We've got a 23-year-old Kayla. She actually goes here and works here at Shoreline. Yes. And we have a 21-year-old Jaden, and he's a boy and a girl.
Really?
18. Because like Jaden is unisex name.
He's a man.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's
Call
true.
My son
okay.
a boy?
Well, you know, whatever. You? He's my boy. But anyway, if they get the picture, they'll put it up. But you guys, I love our family.
And then Maya?
Oh, yeah, Maya. Did I say the baby? Oh, my gosh.
Are there any more that I need to know about?
She's 18, and she goes to SEU, worship leader.
Southeastern University in Lakeland.
She's awesome.
I love you so much.
I love you, too. Thanks for correcting me and finishing my sentences.
Your skin looking good right now.
Yes.
You're looking like a midnight snack right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Some of y'all are like, oh, my God, he said that in church. All right. We are so excited. We have a ministry called 2 = 1, and we are helping couples discover their marriage equation. And we will kind of talk about that tonight, like, and, you know, interweave that throughout our message tonight. But tonight is really not a sermon, and we wanted to, like, podcast style this. Like, we wanted you to hear us talk about conversations that we would have in our house with our friends. Some things that we've talked about with Earl and Onika, some things that we've shared with at our family meetings with our kids, and really just give you some tools to help you discover your marriage equation. We love to say this, a marriage equation of love, laughter, and longevity. Mm-hmm. And we believe that those three things are key to finding a marriage made one. Some of you are like, oh, we in love, but you suck at fun. Like, you don't dance anymore. You don't laugh anymore. Like, you don't pass gas and surprise your wife under the covers anymore. Like, I still do that.
Don't.
I still do that. I think that's the best when she's like, oh, my, oh!
God,
I just, I'm 3 years old. I love that. But we're going to talk about that. And
you're laughing a little too hard over there.
Know, but one of the things we want to do is tell you about something that is dear to our heart. And so April 1st, we are going to launch our 30-day marriage challenge, and it is free. It is absolutely free, and you will be able to journey with Irene and I for 30 days. That's a big picture of us, you know what I mean? For 30 days, you will be able to journey with us, and it is absolutely free, and you can take a picture of the QR code. Do we have the QR code? Is it up there already?
Yeah, it's on the right.
Okay, it's on the other one. You can take, not a picture, but put your camera on the QR code, and you can sign up right now, and it's absolutely free. And we want to conversate with you. We want to give you tools for 30 days of a marriage made one. And guess what? You cannot fix 30 years or 25 years or 10 years of jacked upness in 30 days. But we can help you discover these tools to help you discover a marriage made one. And if you don't know how to do that, you can go to our Instagram page. Follow us, I am Jimmy Rollins or Irene Rollins on Instagram. And you can go to our bio and sign up there. But we want to journey with you. And what's really cool about the 30 days, these are couples all around the world. Yeah. So last time we had 15,000 couples do this with us. And then we're going to also, we're so excited this summer, we're putting together a couples serve day. So you will go out and change the world with your spouse as a couple to go out and do something community oriented that has nothing to do with your family, but has to do with you serving others. And it's absolutely amazing that we have discovered how God serves us as we serve others.
Yep.
Amen?
So good.
And so, you know, follow us. You can go to our website, 2=1.com also, but this is our new look. This is our new look. Like, this is our new brand. Come on.
We had like 300 people sign up-ish.
300 of you signed up yesterday.
Wow.
So that's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And guess what? If you still want to struggle in your marriage, don't sign up.
What is that saying you always say?
You are not allowed to complain about a marriage you refuse to work on. I was going to say that later, babe, but like it was like a preaching point. Like, you are not allowed to complain about a marriage you refuse to work on.
Yeah, that.
Come on, somebody. All right. So tonight, y'all ready to do some work? Y'all ever do some work? We have a talk tonight simply called Child Please. Child Please. Now, this is typically, if I had an urban dictionary, this phrase Child Please is like this exaggeration of something. Like if someone is saying something, you're like, Child Please, stop tripping. Right? Or maybe someone in your marriage, or one of someone in your marriage, there's only one other person, hopefully. God. Maybe the other person. The other person doesn't even work. Your spouse, is doing something or acting something, and you're just like, you're tired of it. You're like, child, please stop tripping.
Yeah.
Right? And that's kind of our language. And so we want to unpack what this child please thing means tonight. And you want to read the scripture with me?
Yeah, sure. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things.
Ooh. When I grew up, I put away childish things. Mm-hmm. There's a child or an inner child in every single one of us.
It's true.
And what happens is when we are children, we are downloading a model of marriage. The model of marriage that your parents operated in.
Or caretakers, whoever was raising you at the time.
And so if your parents ended up in divorce, mm-hmm. that was a part of your model of marriage. How your parents fought was an indication of what your model of marriage is. Mm-hmm. What you viewed on TV as a child is a part of your model of marriage. And each and every one of us has a childhood picture of what we think or what we believe that marriage is. Can I just turn this around? I feel like I gotta. What's up, y'all? How y'all doing back there? Right? And so when we start thinking about marriage, where did you get your picture of marriage? Mm-hmm. Where did you get your model of marriage? When you had this person that you wanted to spend the rest of your life with, what were the things going through your mind that this would be? Mm-hmm. And I want to say that we live in a culture that there's not a lot of great models of marriage. And how many of you grew up and your parents had the perfect model of marriage? Nobody. And if you raise your hand up, you're lying in church and you need to come to the altar. But all of us have a jacked up model of marriage. And our mantra, and Irene's going to jump in and we're going to tell you a little bit about our story because it's important for you to understand as God has done amazing things in our marriage, we want to tell you what amazing things did he have to do for us to have what we have today. What did we have to unpeel? What did we have to peel back? What carpets did we have to look under? What things did we have to dig up, the foundations and unearth in order for us to have what we have? And so our scripture is, and the two shall become one. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not just talking about one as a number, but we're talking about one as whole.
That's right.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. How does two people have a whole one marriage?
That's right.
So yes, the number one, but also the wholeness of your marriage. Because what happens is if your marriage has holes in it, you won't become whole.
Right.
And so what we're trying to do is get you to understand this. Now, I'm not a movie guy. I love movies, but I don't really recommend, like some people can remember all the details of movies. One of the favorite movies of all time for me is The Curious Story of Benjamin Button. Does anyone know about that?
Love that movie.
And basically this guy was born old, but he died young,
yeah.
Right? And so he was aging in reverse, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And Irene and I are about to celebrate 25 years of marriage. Don't cheer, because it's been hard. She hasn't submitted yet, y'all. It's just, I'm joking. Some guys are like, see, yeah, that's why I'm glad I came tonight. I'm joking, you're an idiot. But we're trying to get you to see something. 25 years of marriage. Now, I met Irene when I was 24.
And I was 21.
And she was 21. I realized as we were preparing for this, that me in our marriage, I am 1 year old. Because it took 24 years to undo the inner child of the model that I brought into our marriage. So when some of y'all are like, oh, I understand. Let me break it down for you. Let me break it down for you. This is new rev. How did we become? What is the marriage equation? The thing is we cannot have a whole marriage until I am whole myself. And some of you are waiting for your spouse. Yeah, when she get herself together, man, we're going to be amazing. Come on, girls, ladies, you're talking to your girlfriends. Yeah, he's still tripping. When he gets himself together, we're going to have a whole marriage. No. In order for us to be whole, we each individually have to be whole in order for our marriage to be one. Are you with me? So it took I have known Irene for 24 years. And when I invited her into my childhood journey, it took 24 years for her to redeem the issues that I had in my childhood that I brought into our marriage, because I was still acting like a child when we got married. Now, I thought we'd have a little fun, because y'all like, yeah, me too. And now you're like, man, I didn't want to come tonight. I feel horrible right now. So we started talking about, like, what are the ways in our marriage that we act childish? So we're going to have a little fun with this. Is that all right? So we're going to start back, you know, because there's some things that might be a little fresh. It might be just too fresh.
Too soon.
But I mean, tell them, like, some of the things that I acted.
Besides the farting under the blankets?
That's not childish.
That is so childish.
That's funny.
Okay, I took it to counseling. I was like, he does this, and it just...
And guess what the counselor said? You should try having fun, Irene.
Yes, she did say I needed to lighten up.
But I'm like, get her! Paid for you to say that!
No, wait. How about when he locks the doors of the car and turns the heat up and then passes gas?
It's called a Studebaker.
I'm like, that is...
It's called a Studebaker.
So disrespectful.
I'll pass gas, turn the heat up, put the windows on lock, and just wait for that facial expression. Oh, my! I hate you! She's cussing. I'm like, we're just in church.
I was not cussing. No. Anyway... childishness. I would say, Jimmy, you know, has in the past, you had were in the habit of, like, when you didn't get your way, it was like you had to take your kickball and go
pout.
Home. You'd pout. You'd have, like, adult temper tantrums.
I feel attacked, but I'm going to, just for the sake
you
of the room.
You said
no,
I
go ahead.
Could.
I'm sorry,
this
go ahead,
was,
go ahead.
Okay,
I got mine. I'm ready. My gun is loaded.
Oh,
I'm
he's
joking.
So wrong.
I'm joking. Go ahead.
Be
man.
Nice.
I will.
Yeah, that was one.
Mm-hmm. What
so
else?
That was one. I mean, what else?
Tell them everything.
You keep going. You keep
going. I pout. How many pouters in the room? Like,
it's
honestly,
bad.
Like, I pout. If you promise me sex, and then...
It's not always about sex.
You put
sex.
Your hair thing on. I see my mama. I don't see you. Yo,
that's
where y'all at?
Point.
I mean...
That's the
now
point.
Now I'm laying next to my mama. I ain't...
No, that just means kitchen's closed.
Exactly. But why'd you promise? No, I'm really upset. I'm pouting. I'm texting Earl. Earl, she did it again. Going to sleep on my kickstand.
Just... Oh, my gosh. Jimmy Rollins. Okay, so...
Let me tell you what Irene did.
I'm totally...
I'm sorry, Pastor Earl.
This
I
is horrible.
I apologize. I'm talking about my bike. It's a bike. I have a bike. And I go... Ride it and yeah, get on. How about when we first got married and we were getting an argument, and not even a bad one, you would go in the closet and cry.
Yes. That was one
I'm
of
like,
my things.
Why are you in the closet? Like,
I would just have to retreat. I'd have to go away, have to be by myself. I threw keys at you one time.
She wants to be single. She just wants to be left alone.
No, it's the introvert in me, yes.
Yeah, okay.
I threw the keys at you once. That was a bad one.
No, I don't like how you just glossed over that.
What? Or when I almost ran over you with the car. That was bad.
And I have the anger issues?
Yes.
No, for real. We got in a really bad fight, an argument, and I called her out of her name. Childish. And she physically threw keys, and she had a lot of access to a lot of doors.
The keys were heavy.
In my face, and it hurt.
Okay, babe. So
and I'm gonna take my time here.
Oh my God.
And then we went outside, and she wants to go and drive away. And at that point, a car that I was paying for, so I brought that up. I'm not childish at all. That's my car. I pay the bills. And then I stuck my hand in the window to try to get the keys, and she rolled the window up on my arm.
Sure did.
I have tennis elbow today from that.
Oh my gosh.
And then I got behind the car, Pastor Earl, and she tried to back me over, run me over.
I mean, I was just trying to get him to get out of the way. He wouldn't listen. Anyway.
So here's the deal, guys. How many of you would admit that there are things that you do in your marriage that are childish?
Come on.
Come on. If you don't have your hand up, you're childish. It's true. You like can't admit that you're wrong. Say you're wrong. Mm-mm. And what we have discovered in our marriage is that the issues from our childhood, from the past, continue to show up in the present until they are healed.
That's right.
With your spouse.
And a lot of the time, we're not even conscious of them. So we are unaware, majority of the time, how much our past shows up in our present. And I know for Jimmy and I, one of the things, and we're gonna like just pop tools in all throughout the evening. Here's one I'm gonna throw at you. When I'm starting to sense and feel that disturbed about something that's happening between us, and I start to evaluate who it belongs to, does this belong to me or is this his issue? I start to ask myself, how old do I feel right now?
Y'all need to write that down. Whenever something comes up in your marriage, whenever there's a feeling of anger, fear, joy, not, it doesn't have to be bad, shame, conviction, resentment, ask yourself the question, how old do I feel right now? What you are doing is you are mapping your misery.
Yep.
You're mapping it. You're going back to a moment, and as you continue to do this, you will find that the age that you start talking about is repetitive. And when you start finding that repetitive age, you're gonna find a trauma that is now connected to this trigger.
That's true. Well, you just said it.
And so for us, tell you a little bit about our story. And so we were married, doing ministry, doing life, had a church right outside of Baltimore, Maryland, growing a church, you know, just this, what everyone saw was a happy couple. We weren't. We were triggering each other. We were acting
trigger
childish.
Happy.
Our childhood issues were coming
up. So here's what we didn't realize. We were so unconscious of the past showing up in our present. So all I knew, my model was stuff and numb. My model was we don't talk about things that happen in the family. So no one can know, not even my spouse. Even though scripture says that we are to leave and cleave, right? To our spouse and become one with our spouse, I didn't leave and cleave. I stayed in the past unconsciously with my past, with my family of origin and the issues that came along with it, and did not know I had an issue until the numbing turned into alcoholism and I hit rock bottom. Here's the deal, almost lost our ministry, almost lost my family. Jimmy gave me an ultimatum. On the outside, everything looked good, but I was so good at stuffing and numbing my emotions, my feelings, my pain, the past, how I did not, like, I didn't like you back then. I just did not like him. I villainized him. He became my family member that had abused me verbally, that had abused me physically. I projected that onto him and made him the villain, and I drank at it. So rock bottom.
And it started like as just, oh, I just needed a glass of wine to come down from the day.
Yeah.
And you have no idea the enemy is just waiting.
Yep.
To pounce on that thing that eventually can replace the Holy Spirit.
It's true.
Whether it's pornography, whether it's wine, whether it's working out, whether it's I just stay and talk a little bit longer with the coworker that I'm really, that my wife looks way better than, but I find myself attracted to someone that I would never be attracted to because they're now medication.
Mm-hmm. So here's the deal. We're triggering each other. He had abandonment issues, rejection issues, and here I am turning to alcohol, becoming more silent, more reclusive because of shame. Really. And so then we would trigger each other. So what were the childish things you did as a result of my diving more deeper and deeper into an addiction that I did not see coming? Remember, all of this was, I love Jesus, serving God, but it crept up on me because I was unconscious and because I was unaware of how addiction in the brain works.
So in my family of origin, we grew up in church. We grew up in black church, so you ate after every service. Come on, somebody. So I emotionally ate at what I could not figure out. So to the point that I found this out in counseling, after we got married, she would ask me on Fridays, what do you want to eat? Every Friday, I would say shrimp egg foo young. And she'd be like, what is going on with that? Like, that's disgusting. And I was like, I don't know. But after counseling, I'm just going to give you the end. We were poor. And what happens is when my dad got paid on Fridays, my reward system was shrimp egg foo young. Mm-hmm. So he would bring home shrimp egg foo young every Friday when I was a child. So what I felt like is I had to reward myself because I wasn't winning at home. And so every time that I want you to know what came up for me was shrimp egg foo young. To this day, when we are going through, I have a taste for it. To this day, it's real. I just decide, because I'm grown up, because I'm one, I'm not eating it. I'm gonna deal with the issues. In my family, we talked about everything. We talked about everything. So here how this was. So now I have a wife who's drinking. I don't know why she's drinking. I'm looking at our church and like, she's gonna wreck everything. Do I get divorced? If I get divorced, it's kind of like occupational hazard.
Right.
Right? If I stay here, I'm gonna go crazy, right? If I cheat, I'm gonna lose my integrity. But I thought about it, everything. I was traveling and preaching, looking for another wife while we were still married because she was drunk at home. This is real. We didn't come here to play. I didn't come here to tiptoe through the tulips.
Through the tulips.
But what I'm trying to say is this, our childhood was showing up. So now we have to do something about it. And this is how I almost wrecked even the process of getting healthy. So now we're gonna go to counseling. She has to fill out this document. Mm-hmm. She's not telling me anything. So I saw the document and I saw where she put it. So my family, why she ain't talking? I'm gonna find out. So I went and looked at the document. And the document had all of these questions about childhood and abuse. And now I'm looking at a document, 15 years into our marriage, that I had no idea that she had been sexually abused. I had no idea that she had been physically abused. I had no idea all of these things, and I had to make a decision. Was I gonna help heal the inner child? Or was I so hurt by the adult who was a child, was I just gonna leave? Mm-hmm. And the counselor said, if you don't stay with Irene, you will never, ever, ever have a chance for her to heal the wounds that the child has caused you. And then she said, you will never have the wife you want until you learn to love the wife you have. You will never have the marriage you want until you learn to love the marriage you have. And so now I have information that I had no idea about, that I'm trying to figure out, is she hiding it from me? Mm-hmm. Or am I such a monster that she can't even tell me because I haven't provided a safe place?
If I could lean into that for a moment. You know, during worship, some of those songs, like, I just want to explode. Because when we talk about the grace of God meeting you at that darkest moment, I don't know what it may be for you, because maybe you haven't shared it with your spouse yet. But that dark moment doesn't feel like it's ever going to go away, get better. And you're singing all of these songs about how God saves, rescues, delivers. And I didn't feel like this thing called marriage, this supposed to be the safest place in the world, marriage, I didn't feel safe enough to share with him all of these things that had happened to me. But there was a moment in counseling where something registered. So first, he was informed of the information by reading that document. But when he came to my rehab center 8 years and 3 months ago, praise God for that. I'm 8 years, 3 months sober, kicking alcoholism in the face. And I'll never forget, he was there, and I saw something different in your face when we began to have to share about things that we experienced. Here I was in rehab, feeling shame, feeling like I had ruined our marriage, and how was God going to use this all for good? How was it going to get fixed? And I had to sit there and open up to you about things that I had never opened up to anybody about. And it was this moment of tenderness when you looked at me and you mirrored back to me what you saw. You said, "Irene, I see you." And you said, "I see the 9-year-old little girl who hid under the bed when Dad went away overseas to work." And you began to speak to the little girl. You began to say, "Irene, I still love you. I'm here. Like, it's okay to feel like you feel right now." You hugged me. You said, "I'm sorry that happened to you." You didn't dismiss me and say, "Child, please, get over yourself and stop stalking me when I go away on business trips." No, you felt rejection when you were 9 years old, when your dad left and you went and hid under the bed. "I understand how you feel, honey. And when you came into my world, experienced it from my point of view, it healed something in me, like instantly." And in that instant moment, that suddenly, that we all have an opportunity to just experience those suddenlies with our spouse if we're willing to take the chance. In that suddenly, God began a process of renewal and healing, and we built off of that. Does that make sense?
And so what we were doing is creating a model that had never been created. A model of ministry. I want you to write this down. A model of ministry. You are the model of ministry for your spouse. And here's what happened to me in that moment. I recognized that God, with all of creation, gave one person the sole responsibility to redeem her childhood back to him. And that was me. You, I want you to grab your spouse's hand. That hand, God chose one person to help redeem your past. The hurt, the hangups, the habits. He gave one person the responsibility. Watch this. As a picture of grace, as a safe place, not to throw arrows. And in that moment, what I recognized is that my trauma and my own triggers, I'm acting like a child. And it's time for me to put away childish things so that our marriage could become one. And so here's the deal. Could it be that your spouse, he's always, because you're never a safe place? Like, these are the things that you're gonna have to ask yourself. This is hot off the presses. Like, God has, we've just started talking about this because God, it's now healthy enough to unearth this stuff. And what happened was, is some of my childhood trauma of having a controlling mom. And so I never wanted my wife to have a voice. My mama was a prophetic church speaking to me, you gonna get yourself together. This is what your family's gonna do. Because my dad was a warden at the Maryland State Penitentiary, so he was always gone. And when he came home, he just wanted peace. He was like, okay, whatever. And so when we got married, I was like, this woman ain't gonna ever tell me what to do. And so I would stuff and stuff. I had no idea that that control was contributing to the abuse that she had experienced in her childhood.
Yeah, and what's so crazy is that we project onto our spouse what we don't want. So he wanted me to be vocal and strong. He saw in me when we met a strong woman. Yet it was the very thing that he was trying to quiet and simmer down because of his wound. Does that make sense? And like, you projected onto me what you didn't want, and then I became what you didn't want.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
So I became.
I want you to say that again because I want you to, because here's the deal. If you don't become a safe place, I'm going to tell you what happens. So let's say in your marriage, right? And I love this podcast style because I feel like I don't have to like, I love this, right? Like, I want you to see this. So maybe you had a model of sex in your marriage, right? Like how many times a week you're supposed to get it, what you like or what you don't like, in your sexual appetite. The question that I'm going to ask you is, where did that appetite come from? My appetite came from when I was 9 years old, and there was a boy, and I remember his name, and I won't say it because I don't know if I'm ever bumping to him in life, on Symphony Lane. I know the street. Showed me my first Penthouse magazine. And the picture that, what I was introduced to became my appetite. Your introduction is often your appetite. And your wife is not supposed to feed, or your spouse, your husband, is not supposed to feed an unhealthy appetite. I want y'all to hear what I'm saying. So it could be the thing that you like, I'm gonna ask you where it came from. Because if it didn't come from the model of the person you're sitting next to right now, it's an unhealthy model. I want y'all to hear me. Because what we're asking us, our spouses, to do is perform off of an old picture. And although you're not watching porn, you're now the star in your own film. Are you with me? And so where did it come from? And so for us, I had no idea that this 5 times a week, come on, y'all, I was ready. Where did that come from? And every time I would go back and think to that picture. I would go back and think to that picture. And that what happens is the repetitiveness of looking at that picture was every day. So I needed to feed my sexual appetite every day. And now, watch this portraying. When she wouldn't give it to me, right? Or when she made a promise, now I'm upset. Now I'm pouting. And I have no idea that my pouting and my upsetness is now an unhealthy expectation that she feels like she has to perform, and now the sexual abuse is coming up, and I'm portraying on her own hurt.
So then I do have to drink. That's
get
what
over the moment.
Right, but this is, I'm looking up a scripture right now. I can't find it, the Romans one.
Don't do that.
Okay.
You always do that.
Okay. So what?
I'm like, I don't know, and then I feel stupid, because... Like, it's not written down on my notes.
Romans 10.
And everyone's like, is he a pastor, really?
Well, anyway, we're supposed to outdo one another in honor, right? So that's what the scripture says, honor. And here's the deal. I became a receptacle for my husband's lust.
It's true.
And that perpetuated my wounds and my past with my body count that I was so ashamed of. And the moment when I think rubber met the road was when I realized how I was medicating that pain with alcohol, but then that was actually hurting you and fueling your issues.
Because I was overweight, because I was medicating.
Yes.
And when she would not want to sleep with me, I thought it was because she was not attracted to me. Mm-hmm. So now my insecurities, I'm trying to show you, we're exposing this because y'all might be like, yeah, that's bad. That might not be yours. Like, y'all are real bad. My God. But it's playing out in your marriage.
So
you can't tell me it's not. We have met with thousands of couples. Uh-huh. It's playing out in your marriage, and you're trying to figure out, like, oh, my gosh, there is healing, guys. Uh-huh. There is healing. There is joy on the other side of this. You know what I did in counseling that day? What? When that facial expression, I realized God chose me to be a part of healing. That is now mine to care for. But if I don't even create a safe enough place for her to tell me, how can I care for it?
So here's the deal. You became safe enough for me to say, I have a problem with alcohol. Took a while. It took a long while. Took 38 days of me doing my own work that belonged to me first.
While you're at rehab.
While I was at rehab, before I could share with you that I had a problem and that I was willing to admit it. And that's when that was really the beginning of our marriage growth forward. So that's where I came to the table and said my issue. I took ownership of my part, and then you took ownership of your part. I didn't make it a requirement. I just showed up first.
So let me see. I'm going to show you how this now plays in reverse. And before I even show you this, I want to tell you right now, if you're thinking, like, that's a lot of work, it is. Mm-hmm. Right? Because some of y'all are like, oh, my gosh.
It's so worth
it. I'm really jacked up, and I got to tell her all of that? Yeah. No, it's work. But let me tell you what makes it worth it. Are you ready?
Ready.
If you don't heal it, it will multiply in your children.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want you to do right now is think about your kids right now. If you got to pull up a picture and ask yourself, is it worth the work? There's a 23-year-old girl sitting back there right now that it's worth the work, and she can hear this stuff, and that's why I can't know just regular dudes slide up in her DMs, because she recognizes if he can't do the work, I don't want to be with him. He might be fine. He might have, you know, like all of that. Like, but that, my three kids, I don't want to pass this down.
No.
I don't want to pass down an unhealthy model. I've decided, child, please, we are going to do the work so that we can pass down a healthy model to our children.
That's right. And Deuteronomy 5:9 says it. You must not bow down to them, idols, worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third, fourth generations of those who reject me. So here's the deal. Generations are going to be affected with what?
Yep.
You choose. You get to choose. Is it going to be forgiveness, or is it going to be fornication? I don't know. Would you like to
fractures.
Do the fractures?
Unforgiveness.
Unforgiveness.
Fear.
Keep going. Fear, shame, no talk rule, or is it going to be vulnerability? Wow. Is it going to be, here are my weaknesses. I'm weak, but God... Go ahead.
No, go finish.
No, through me sharing my weaknesses, 2 Corinthians 12:9, that's where the grace of God comes in, and I'm strengthened. So am I going to reframe my issues and my weaknesses and be vulnerable with them and transparent so my kids can see what we struggle with as a family? My children choose to abstain from alcohol or partake of alcohol on their own. It's their choice. How did I make a decision to change the generational curse? I talked about it. I spoke up about it. I said, we have addiction in our family. The choice is still theirs. But I decided it's going to stop with me, this no talk rule. it's going to stop with me. Emotional abuse, sexual abuse, not talking about it, not talking about our trauma. No, we're going to deal with our emotions. We're going to deal with the triggers. We're going to heal. We're going to restore. And we're going to brag on this amazing God that did all the work and will turn it all around for good. So as for me and my house,
you preaching.
We're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to talk about, oh, you watched something this week? Okay, so what are you going to do about it? Who are you talking to? Where's your support system? Oh, you guys want to get married? Make sure you marry a man. Find a man, Kayla Rollins. Find a man, Maya Rollins, who is willing to do the work. Jaden Rollins, find a woman who is willing to do the work. Because it's going to be hard. Marriage is going to be so hard, so messy. But they now know through the model we've shown them that it will be worth it, all of that work. All we need is a willingness to get well. That's all. A willingness. So can we make a commitment tonight that we're going to start a new model for our families? And that new model is going to be one of health. Just the willingness. Just the willingness, the fact that you're here today says you're willing.
Here's what I know. This is not a license now to go and share everything. Right? The next step, this is what this 30-day challenge is all about. If you don't have the communication skills to actually have conversations that turn out healthy, to actually listen to understand, not listen to agree. As long as I understand, she realized I don't have to agree. If you don't have the tools, so we go from model to methods. Like, you don't have the methods. We don't have the methods. You know what we're talking from? 100,000 hours of counseling. $100,000. We have invested in ourselves. Rehab was $60,000. I didn't have it. I called every friend possible and said, do you believe in our marriage? Yes, we need you to make it. I need $5. You know, it wasn't $5, but guys, here's the deal. That right there is what you have to build on. There are fun moments. There are fun times in your marriage. The problem is we multiply the wrong thing. We multiply fractures and wonder why it eats up our fun. I'm telling you right now, you don't have the tools. But you do have the tools to say, you know what? I'm going to do the work. You do have the tools to grab your spouse by the hand and says, I know it's been rough, but I want you to know I'm in this for the long haul. You don't have to figure out how it's going to happen. You just first got to make a decision. Here's what I want to tell you guys about. Forgiveness is a decision. Reconciliation is a process. Forgiveness is a decision. Tonight, we just want you to make a decision. I'm deciding to stay. I'm deciding to laugh. I'm deciding to do the work. I'm deciding, I ain't where Pastor Jimmy and Irene are right now. Come on, I can't say all of that. But let me give you just a thought. The enemy can't remind you of stuff you're already talking about. And some of you right now, you can't sleep because your past is playing the reel over and over and over and over. And you're like, man, I don't know what to do. But the word says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Let me tell you something. The blood of the Lamb is the work that Jesus does. Your sins are covered. Your past is forgiven. Come on, somebody. Your path is redeemed. Now, my work is to testify about it. Not when I'm out of it, but when I'm going through it. There is no such thing as perfection on this side of eternity, but there is such thing as freedom. And freedom is not being perfect. It's simply not having anything to hide. I ain't got nothing to hide. We're working on our next podcast, season 4 right now. We're gonna call it Taboo. And one of the things we're talking about is, do you find other people attractive outside of your marriage? Yes. When I got married, women didn't get ugly. They didn't get ugly. I mean, I got better looking. But so we're gonna talk about it. Now, when we're on the beach, when we're on vacation, I say, honey, let's not go that way. Her bikini is not for me. I cannot look. It's not that I don't like your butt.
Of course not.
But I don't want that to distract me. Let me give it a preaching phrase to it. We have to stop trading in what's eternal for what's fake.
Come on.
This is eternal. Mm-hmm. We work too hard to let that distract me. Mm-hmm. So every single day I pray this prayer. I prayed it this morning. God, today, will you help me make covenant with my eyes that they only desire the body of my wife? Because God, I want to be free. And I have to admit that sometimes my eyes wander. But I got friends like Pastor Earl I can call and say, hey man, can you cover me? Because yesterday I had a weak moment. I didn't do anything. I just hate that my eyes took a snapshot of something that it shouldn't have. But guess what, guys? These are methods. We want to help you with methods. And guess what? I just exposed that, and she won't bring it up later to be like, so you was looking at so-and-so? No, because it's hers to care for. It's hers to care for. It's hers to say, hey, honey, how are you doing today?
How are you doing emotionally versus you? Who were you looking at? What was that about? Where'd that come from? Did you look at porn today? You know, that's more accusatory. I remember you breaking down to me saying, hey, this is what I need. I need you to ask me how I'm doing emotionally. So,
and I want to give him one tool right here.
Okay.
Let me interrupt because I feel like it's important for especially the guys in the room. Here's what we got to with these tools. Hey, babe, I just saw something and I feel like I'm back on Symphony Lane. 9 years old.
Yep.
Can you go back with me to 9 and help walk the 9-year-old present to today? Because me in my right mind, I can't do it on my own. And I find safety in our relationship now. We feel like God has anointed us to help couples do this. If I never preached again and got to do this the rest of my life, this is what I'm created for. I'm telling you, I want to go back to that thing real quick because you told me, I want to tell them at some point how you helped me. I sowed grace and forgiveness with you. With alcohol, and then you sowed grace and forgiveness to me with my weight and my emotional issues, and how that just, I'll never forget, I was on the hospital bed with congestive heart failure, 420 pounds, and the grace that I gave her through alcoholism, the Lord gave me a picture of her strength and says, now it's your turn to lean into her to help her, to help you get healthy. And it's been 150 pounds shed because emotional weight was shed.
I think you've closed that well. I think what I'd like to do is just pray for momentum to happen in the marriages here. So definition of momentum is a measure of how hard it is to stop something that's moving, like a moving object, right? Momentum. If something has momentum, if your marriage has momentum, it continues moving forward by definition, forward on its own. If you've built momentum in your marriage, then you're in an ongoing state of moving forward together. Everybody say together.
Together.
Hashtag Team Rollins. We're moving forward together. We're taking ownership of our own issues and doing the work to get free from our own things. And then we come together as one and we move forward together. Can we just make the commitment to do the work to own our own work first? If you're with me, would you raise your hand and just say, hey, God, I'm willing to do my own work to get free. Now, with the other hand, holding the hand of your spouse, I want you to make a commitment as we stand together. I'm just going to pray for us all. to just gain this momentum to face all of the things that are going to come at us. But spiritually, as we are humble and we serve one another and honor one another in our marriage, man, we're going to roll right over these like crazy hard life things that come our way. Amen? So let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you are at the center of it all, the center of all of our marriages. Lord, we lay every hurt, every wound from our past at your feet. Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit be the great physician that you are and bring healing to our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our spirits. And God, as we take ownership and do the work in our that belongs to us, just do surgery on us, God. And help us, Heavenly Father, to just bring our spouses in along on the journey, and that there would be such a momentum of togetherness as we get whole and healed together and build this new model of healthy marriage that we're going to pass down from generation to generation. In Jesus' name, amen.
We had planned to do an altar call moment, but it's hard to do that when everyone would come. So can we make this room an altar? So we don't have to come forward, but the Holy Spirit comes to us. Because here's what I know right now. Guilt wants to be loud in your ear right now. And here's what I want to tell you guys. It is impossible to give away something that you have not received. You cannot give away forgiveness if you have not received it. It is impossible for you to forgive your spouse if you have not received forgiveness. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to do something very simple. If tonight you have decided, before you can even make your marriage one, you have to be one with God. Before you can get things right horizontally, you have to get it right vertically with God. And if there's anybody in here that knows that there's distance in your relationship with Jesus Christ, that means tonight you're deciding, you know what? I am gonna go all in with Jesus. I'm gonna make him my Lord and Savior and my King tonight. Because guess what? I cannot give my spouse away forgiveness to my spouse when I don't even know how to forgive myself. Or I don't even know if I'm forgiven. So tonight, in your life, individually, if you want to hit the reset button in your life, you may say, Pastor, I've never been in church. Or this ain't for people who are, this ain't for church people. This is for all of us. And you may say, tonight, I want to hit the reset button. Tonight, I want to try to make this God thing real in my life. I've tried alcohol. I've tried drugs. I've tried working out. I've tried all of these things, and the pain will not go away. I'm telling you right now, there's a man that I know that is a healer that redefined death, and his name is Jesus Christ. And tonight, if you want to make him Lord of your life, I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, I want your hand to go up. No one's looking. And then we're going to pray, and you're going to pray this prayer, and you're going to start this journey to freedom that you never thought was possible. So one, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Two, you are not your past. God has a greater purpose for your life. And hands are going up. Three, tonight I'm giving my life to Jesus. Come on, raise it high. I want to see it. There are hands going up all over this auditorium. And we want to pray this prayer, and then everyone is going to pray it with you. And even if you don't have your hand up and you have it right up in your heart, tonight hundreds of people, if you're watching online, are coming to Jesus Christ. Now everybody raise your hands right now so nobody has to feel, and look at me and say, Jesus, tonight I make a decision to invite you into my pain, to invite you into my fear, to invite you into my anxiety. Tonight, I believe that you died on the cross, but you didn't stay there. You resurrected. And on that day, I can have life and life to the full. So tonight I'm free, I'm redeemed, and I'm saved in Jesus' name. Now everybody give God some praise in this place tonight. And I want you to know something. You now have the ability to give away something that you couldn't give away. So I pray forgiveness over this room. I pray joy over this room. I pray health over this room. I pray live over this room. You are not your past. Child, please, I'm healed. Child, please, I'm delivered. Child,